This is the Thursday Morning Plenary, December 29th, from Atlanta 05, the National Conference of InterVarsity's Black Campus Ministry. The conference theme is Identity Theft, Expose, Reclaim, Prevail. And this address by the Reverend Dr. Alice Brown Collins is entitled, He Is and I Am. Reverend Dr. Alice Brown Collins is an InterVarsity Associate Regional Director who lives in Holliston, Massachusetts. Her talk, He Is and I Am, identifies God's steps for transformation. She told those gathered at Atlanta 05, it's time to take back your identity, and that God has called us to a certain identity.
A person without Jesus who claims to be a justice fighter is just a social activist with serious limitations. But a person with Jesus who proclaims and serves others is a justice fighter and a world changer. God has called you to this conference to be a world changer.
And now here's the Reverend Dr. Alice Brown Collins at Atlanta 05.
He is and I am. Therefore, you are because He is. I want to take some time and pray, and then I want to ask you to get your Bibles. I always tell folk, you better check it. You know, these professors that y'all have, they don't always tell y'all the truth. All right. So you better check it by the Word of God. I want you to find Acts, the 10th chapter. And we're going to look at the 34th verse. And then we're going to turn to Galatians, the 2nd chapter. And we're going to read verses 11, 14 to 15a. But before I get to the Word of God, I have to pray. You're going to have to learn to pray. Let me tell you, you can dance, you can shout, you can roll on the floor, and the devil doesn't care. He really doesn't care. Hallelujah. But when you begin to develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, when you get radical enough that you can read from Genesis to Revelation, when you get to the point where you don't mind just being with Jesus by yourself, you're going to find out who He is. Father God, in the name of Jesus, here we are. We thank You that You have brought us together and that You have a word for the people of God. In the name of Jesus, I ask right now, by Your authority, that You would touch every individual in here. Lord, help them to know who they are in You. That it's all about You and nobody else. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help them to understand that there are days we are up and we are down. There are a whole lot of days, as the old folk told me, you never do it right. That's why you have to ask them forgiveness every day. Oh, Lord, help them to know that we have victory through Jesus Christ and that the blood of Jesus covers us every day. Help them, God, and Father God, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray in the name of Jesus. And God, we will give You the glory because, God, in the end, it's all about You. Identity is in You. And so, Lord, we thank You right now for all You're going to do. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank God for my family. Will y'all let me do that? Praise God. I'm married to the love of my life. Jesus is the first love of my life. That's it. That's it. He knew that when I married Him. Praise God. Praise God. But the love of my life is Reverend Boris Collins. He's the love of my life. And I thank God for him because he puts up with me every day. See, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm messed up. Praise God. But I know that God has made me to be what He wants me to be. And He's still working on me. And then one day, I'm going to see Jesus. It's that simple. Praise God. And I thank God for my two children, for Kateri Collins. And I thank God for Jamal. They put up with me too. Praise God. Your children put up with you too. Praise the Lord. And so I want to thank God for them. And then I want to thank God for all the precious college students who are here today. I saw you years ago, but I did not understand what God was talking about. God showed me that I would be speaking to a crowd of this size. But of course, God has a sense of humor. Because you see, I told God, I said, well, you know, they tell me that old folk can't preach to young people. God says, but I'm God and I'm going to laugh when you do it. Praise his name, I'm here. Acts 10:14. Let's read it. I want to read the 14th verse and the 34th verse. It reads as this. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Say with me, favoritism. On your campus, favoritism. Oh, in your churches, favoritism. Oh, among people of African descent, favoritism. But God does not show what? Oh, praise him. If that's all I say, you got it. But accepts men from every nation. Who, wait, though, we got to get the passage right. He accepts men, okay, that means women too, so y'all understand that. I don't want y'all to walk out of here and be confused. Okay, men, women, and children from every what?
Nation.
That means United States of America. That means those who in the Caribbean. That means people of African descent in South Africa, Guyana, where I went. That means people in Kenya. That means people in India. That means people in China. People of African descent in the diaspora everywhere. Those who what? Fear. Oh, yeah, get it right. Who fear him and do what is what? Right, do what is right. Let's go to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 11, 14 to 15. Galatians 2, verse 14, 11, 14 to 15. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. I got in his face. Oh, yeah, it's in the scripture. You know, Paul reminds me of African American. For I got his face messing with me. I praise his name. I opposed him to his face. But I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the what?
Wrong.
Let's go to 14 to 15a. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. God esteem. God has been speaking to me a lot. As a psychologist, God began to correct me. You see, I've been trained too. I got all them crazy degrees too. I was with all them crazy professors too that didn't believe in God. And they taught me about self-esteem. But let me tell you something. God began to speak to me in the last year about God esteem. He said, you see, Alice, the problem about self-esteem is it's all about you. It's all about your desires. It's all about what you want to do. But I want you to start telling people about God esteem. Because, see, God esteem is about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that is not what psychology taught you. The Lord said, begin to tell them, get it right. And when they get it right, then as men and women of God, we won't struggle so much. Because see, when we really love God, then we don't have low self-esteem. We got God esteem. God esteem. Our identity as a Christian is tied to such questions as, who am I? Where do I fit in life? Am I valuable? Your identity is the most important part of who you are, affected by your family background. I'm a young sister from Kansas. Your history. I am the woman of an ex-slave family. Your ethnicity. I'm African, born in America, making me African American. And yet I live in a white suburban neighborhood, making me multicultural, bicultural. I am a woman, and I have some kind of socioeconomic status, but I'm never quite sure with InterVarsity. Forgive me, President, but I love you. Praise his name. The president is here, so you know how you have to honor the, you know, your folks. But if there's anything I want to say to you, you need to know that when you have God esteem, your identity is the doorway to your destiny. Last night they went over the fact that we find our identity in many places. Women crave love and attention, and what they find is casual sex. Men crave respect and status, and what they find is loneliness and money. Insecure people finally get to the top. They finally get to be CEO, and they steal, and they lie, and they end up in prison.
Yes, that's right.
And people of African descent demand justice. However, without God, we end up being immoral and treating other people badly. How do we develop God esteem? How do we find the who I am through the great I am? In the two passages we're looking at today, Acts 10 and Galatians 2, we discover God's perceptions of Peter, Cornelius, and relationships between Jewish and Gentile believers. We explore identity in Christ as impacted by ethnic, cultural, and historical backgrounds. So God orchestrates a turning point in the relationships between Jews and Gentiles through a series of powerful, spirit-troubling, cultural-invading, cultural-challenging visions. The history is clear because Gentiles just aren't any good. They are considered to be unclean. And the Jewish law has said, you can't have anything to do with these Gentiles. You can't associate with them. Now, y'all got to understand how important this is to me because I work as a chaplain at Brandeis University, which is a Jewish, primarily Jewish, secular campus. So when I tell you these things, I'm talking about experience. They can't. So in that time, Jews were not allowed to associate with a Gentile. They couldn't even come in your home. Entering into the home of a Gentile was against the Jewish law. Let me tell you something. I thank God for Rabbi Alan Lehman. When I had cancer, the rabbi and the Catholic priest came to my home. Now, let me tell you, that made a stir everywhere. Everybody talked about the rabbi came to your home. The rabbi showed up at your home. All right, I'm just giving an example. And so it was against the law to enter the home. It was against the law to touch their possessions. It was against the law even to accept kindness and hospitality from a Gentile. So Cornelius was defined by Peter in this way. I just can't have nothing to do with you just because of the title of Gentile. Now, as you continue to read this text, Peter and Cornelius are both given visions from the Lord while they are praying and seeking his face. So you're going to get a vision when you what? Pray and seek his face. Y'all got it? And guess who God meets first? God meets the Gentile. God meets the one that nobody at the campus wants to have anything to do with. God meets the one, praise God, that everybody says, they are Christian. I don't want to be bothered. All right? And you know the Christians slipping over the line. You know they go at night and say, you know, brother, pray for me. But you know, I don't want to be seen with you. And so God meets Cornelius on his knees, and he affirms the following, because this is who we want to be. He affirms that Cornelius is God-fearing, that no matter what is said, he is God-fearing. He affirms that Cornelius is generous. He has a generous spirit. He affirms that Cornelius is a man who listens, obeys, and prays. What does he do? Let me tell you something. Before you can get anything from God, you got to learn to shut up and sit down. You know, God used to tell me that. You know what? I'm an extrovert. I do a lot of talking. You have to. All right. And I don't want anybody to feel bad. Who did I say is an extrovert and do a lot of talking? I did. Alice does. Alice does a lot of talking, okay? And so when I began to learn how to pray, the Lord would say, you need to sit down. Okay, that was the first thing. I had to learn to sit down. And I needed to be by myself. I had to learn that because I like people. I like just being all over. I want to be with all of y'all. I want to go where it's happening. That's what I want to do. And the Lord would say, sit down. Amen. The Lord loves me. He told me to sit down. He loves you. Y'all learning to sit down. Then after the Lord got me to sit down, then he said something that I really didn't like. As I was growing up, I was never a child that got disciplined very much. I tried to do what was right. But then the Lord told me, shut up. You need to sit down and shut up. Shut up. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. Praise his name. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hey. That's the way we do it. And there's nothing wrong with it. But now the Lord is saying, sit down and shut up. Then after I sat down and got quiet, all right, then I went through a phase, praise God, hallelujah. And that's the phase Cornelius is going through, where I began to learn to listen to God. So I'm glad, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to your name. And the Lord said, shut up. So I said, okay, I'm going to shut up. Okay, I don't know what to do, Jesus. Very pertinent question. Now I sat and sat, and I learned to sit a long time. And then after a while, I heard something one day that was not my flesh, that was not the devil, that was not the love of my life, that was not my children, and that was not the various people I ministered to, and not my family. I heard Jesus. I got some clarity. And so Cornelius has already gone through that point. A Gentile is able to listen, obey, and pray. And God's perception of who he is not the perception of the world. God's perception of who he is that he is clean because of his faith. Y'all got it? So God's view of Cornelius is an affront to Peter's training, his knowledge, his leadership style, and his faulty assumption. The scripture states, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Peter needed a renewed mind. God wanted to break down the barriers in Peter's heart and in Peter's community, but he had to start with Peter, and Peter was absolutely confused. So when God begins to deal with you, it's all right to be confused. You'll never learn the difference between all the voices in the world if at some point you aren't confused. So in a rooftop experience with a basement mentality, Peter meets God in prayer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just not where I need to be. But the Lord is speaking to each and every one of you about your greatness, about what he wants to do, about how he wants to move in your life, about all of the choices that he wants to direct, because he loves you that much. And yet the issue is the struggle that we all have, as I've had in my own life. It just seems like the experience is great, but I know Alice. And guess what? Peter meets God in what? Prayer. It's about lunchtime. You know, I think Peter could have been a college student. You know, he gets a vision because he's hungry. It's around lunchtime. This is the passage. It's around lunchtime and he's getting hungry. And God knew that he would need nourishment through food. He didn't need a Big Mac. Neither did he need a Whopper. And suddenly he sees this vision. He's up there, and what he really wants is not natural food, but spiritual food. And he sees heaven open, and there's this sheep coming down, and it's got all of these four-footed animals, a pig, you know, and other kinds of animals and reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And the voice tells him, get up, Peter, and eat. And Peter says like us, oh, no, I'm not about to eat any pork. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And he actually says to God, which is typical Peter, because, you know, Peter knows everything, right? You know, it took me a while as a professor. I knew everything, too. And then one day God began to sanctify me and clean me. And I began to understand that the more that Jesus dealt with me, the less I really knew. And I began to not be afraid to say that. And you have to be able to say that. And so, but Peter says, I know you don't expect me to eat that. Because I'm not going to do it. Now, he's talking to God. Because at least Peter honest. The real issue is, are you? I'm going to tell you what I found out. God already knows. God didn't say, I'll get you something else. He said, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. And he knows that Peter doesn't get it. And so he repeats it one more time, and he repeats it another time. And so Peter's in confusion. He's saying, ain't no way. You know, my culture says, no, I can't do that. I can't be with those Gentiles. The rabbi can't come to Alice Brown Collins' house. That can't happen. And he's dealing with his confusion. But Peter's also dealing with something else. And I've learned something as I read this passage. I really think he got a lot of pride because of how he responds to God. I think he's got some legalism. I think he's absolutely afraid. And I think he needs what a whole lot of college students are seeking on campus. They need approval from their peers. They need approval from their family. They need approval from their professors. They need approval from the other Christian folk who try to tell you how you're supposed to live, and they're not Jesus. He is having a God esteem identity crisis, just like many of us. His question is, should I break with my culture and visit this Gentile? Should I violate what I've taught? And guess what? In the midst of it all, God instructs him in his emotional struggle to obey him and go to the house of Cornelius. There are no excuses. The call to how Peter lives out his identity in Christ is evident now in his sanctification. Sanctification is the inward cleansing of the spirit from cultural prejudice in this case. I don't know what God's doing for you. They asked me to come up here and preach about sanctification. I said, Lord, I got to preach about sanctification and living holy. They asked me to do that. You've got to look at yourself. What is it that's in you that you've been struggling with? Just be honest with God. I was in my 20s, raised in a Pentecostal church. Some of you know what that church was. Praise his name. I loved God, and God kept doing crazy stuff in my life that I didn't understand as some Pentecostal woman. And so one day, God put me with a Nazarene. Another time, God put me with an Assembly of God, a white woman. Another time, God put me, praise his name, with a Methodist woman who looked at me when I didn't really want to preach. I didn't want to preach, y'all. And she looked at me and said, you ain't nothing but a preacher. Another time, God put me, praise God, with a white brother when I was in so much pain. And nobody understood me because at that point, I had made the decision to totally surrender my life and completely follow God. And I was doing crazy stuff. Let me tell you something. When you really get it, hallelujah, you're not afraid of telling people about Jesus. You ask the people at our church planting New Hope. Anybody come to me, I don't care who they are. When they come to the, do you know Jesus? Praise God. If it's a pastor, do you know Jesus? Praise God. If it's a bishop, do you know Jesus? If it's a homeless man or woman, do you know Jesus? Because see, when you get radical, you are fully aware that you can be deceived and messed up and you can preach. All right, I'm going to get off that. Let me go on. Okay. So Peter has an inward cleansing. Now, Peter is empowered. I want you to look at this. He is empowered to do these things. He's empowered to turn from his sin and repent. He is empowered to confess his sin. He is empowered to get over all the stuff. Now, y'all been laughing. The staff has been laughing at my husband, but he's right. Some things you just got to get over. You got to run from some stuff. You got to get over some stuff. I can guarantee you. Yeah, I can just talk today, right? You know how your mama talked to you. Okay. As people of African descent, we are aware of our history in this country and across the world. That is called, we deal with racism and prejudice and stuff all the time. All right. So you're going to have to ask God to empower you so that when folk come and do stuff to you, you got to forgive them. Get this word. You got to forgive them quickly. Then you got to deal with your pain. Stop running around here and say it don't hurt. If I hit you across the head with a bat, it hurts. Stop running. It don't hurt. It don't bother me. You know, they come to me. I know how they do. They cry in the name of Jesus. It don't bother me what they say. They call me out my day. Yes, it does. So you've got to deal with the hurt. You must acknowledge that you were hurt. Then you must seek healing and wholeness. But you're going to have to forgive. And then you got to do something. When God begins to heal you and God begins to make you whole, because that is what he wants to do. Stop letting folk tell you you can't be healed and you can't be whole. This is the new thing. You just got to stay and sit in it and stew in it and that, and it's all right. No, it's not all right with God. I just came to tell you it's not all right with God. When you get knocked down, you got to get up. Get up, young people. You got to get up. Get up. Forgive them. Get up. Get up. Hold your head up. And then I trust you to do this. I trust you to pray for them. I trust you to speak a word of kindness. This is radical stuff because this is in the scripture, but we don't believe. I trust you to forgive them. I trust you to extend to them your hand. And I trust you to pray that they will know God. Because guess what? Peter's heart is broken. Peter is healed when the Holy Spirit is poured out on these Gentile believers. And now he is able and bold enough to go back to the Jewish community. Because, you know, they asked, they said, now listen here, brother. All right. Now you was doing something you shouldn't have done. No, we don't care if you're a preacher. We don't care if you're an apostle. We don't care how great you might think you in the Lord. Come up here. Sit down here. All right. And the panels before him. And they began to question, what did you do? And Peter said, listen, y'all need to stop that. Y'all cannot deny the divine work of the Holy Spirit in whosoever life it is. That's what he says. Well, praise God for that revelation, right? And the declaration that God accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is what? Right. Right. Well, Galatians 2. Looks like us, right? We had a rooftop what? Experience. And we down in the basement again. Acts Galatians 2 is a tragedy of spiritual identity theft. You can spend your entire life building your identity. And in one moment, you can make a decision that affects your eternal destiny. Did y'all get that? It is now in Galatians 2 that Paul comes to Peter and he opposes him to his face. He talks about his hypocritical behavior toward the Gentiles. And he tells Peter, you know better. But once again, Peter is filled with fear. Any of y'all ever been in places you've been filled with fear? Huh? One of the worst mistakes I made was because of fear in a particular situation concerning somebody I deeply love. It was a terrible mistake. I did it. I tell people I got old enough to say, when you get my age, you can just tell your business. Right. All right. You know, in many families of African descent, we've been taught don't tell your business, but y'all need to tell some business to Jesus. All right. And here he is again. So, you know, he's out hanging out, you know, with people of African descent, right? And he's hanging out, and they said, well, you can't do that, right? Now, they know it's not godly. See, this is part of the issue. The people I'm with, they know some stuff they say to me, it's not godly, right? And they slip up and say, you know, we shouldn't have said that. And we all said it, right? But they know we shouldn't have said it, all right? But he's hanging out with the Jewish believers who say, if you're going to know Jesus, you got to be circumcised. Now, brothers, y'all know what that means, right? Do I need to explain that? I think last night our speakers explained a lot of stuff. Praise his name. You know, if you need a sex education course, come talk to me because I'm not afraid to tell you the stuff. Well, so he's hanging out with them, and they have to be circumcised, and they got to do this, and they got to do this. And the Gentile believers now are confused because they really thought that through Jesus Christ came sanctification, salvation, and et cetera. All right? And so what is the problem? The problem is that Peter knew better. Some of us don't know better, and God's going to help us to grow, right? But Peter knew. And so Paul says, you do know better, and you shouldn't have done that. And really, what Brother Paul is getting to is the depth of fear that Peter has about doing what is right. Now, why do I say that? Because in this case, it may be Jews and Gentiles. With you, it may be how you relate to particular people on your campus from other ethnic and cultural groups. However, for most of us, it's really about how we relate to our families. And other, I'm going to write this in my book. I got a book. And how sometimes we respond to people who come from different places than we come. Now, y'all know, okay, I'm from Kansas. Tell me what y'all going to say. Corn. Oh, well, you from the real place. Corn and, huh? What? The Wizard of Oz. Okay, so in us, we have been acculturated to say these things. But God is calling us. What is it that we can say? What is it that we can do to edify and build people up? Where are your places of fear? You got to identify. Where is it that you'll go, I'm not going to do that because. I'm not going to say that because. And so this is where Peter's at, and it's sort of sad, isn't it? Spiritual identity theft. What kind of walls have you permitted between yourself, all right? Love your neighbor as you love what? All right. You got an issue with you? Are there issues here? What ideas have you picked up over the years concerning race, religion? Let me give you this example. I was down, and I just started telling you about all the people God has put in my life. God actually, at one point, most people don't know that, I had actually gotten a scholarship from a Presbyterian church, and I actually attended a Presbyterian church for 4 years once a month. Now, you know what that must have looked like. Here I am, boom, 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 boom. And they were singing the hymns. But God did that in my life. So are there any religious or denominational things that you're dealing with? In my 20s, God began to speak to me. And God began to say to me, prejudice. I cried. I said, what are you talking about? You have prejudice against other denominations, and it came through the back door. That's what the Lord said. And he worked on it. He worked on it. So are there things that you picked up over the years that came through the back door? Y'all know what I'm saying? Did economic issues political issues, moral issues, gender issues. Part of what God is talking to me about is that we are all broken. Without Jesus, we are all oppressed. And without Jesus, and when we are not sanctified in the ways that God wants us to be sanctified, we'll do some stuff that's unbelievable. Because God has called us to have an identity centered in Christ. Let me give you an example. When I talk about the issues of Jesus and justice, right? I always talk about Jesus and justice. A person without Jesus who claims to be a justice fighter is just a social activist with serious limitations. A person without Jesus who claims to be a justice fighter is just a social activist with serious limitations. But a person with Jesus who proclaims and serves others is a justice fighter and a world changer. God has called you to this conference to be a world changer. God has called you to this conference to begin to think beyond yourself and to begin to think about what I'm going to do in this urban community. To begin to think what I'm going to do in places like Kenya and Ghana. What am I going to do in places like South Africa? What am I going to do in a white suburban community? And I can talk about it. I don't want to insult nobody. White suburban community where my neighbor across the street is high. I know what I'm talking about. She's always drinking it high. I got convicted the day the police came to get her. We're supposed to be world changers. Do y'all understand me? What about us going to New Orleans? Let me tell you something. See, this is why y'all need to read some ES history. Do you not know that what happened in New Orleans, that's not the first time? Read some history. It's not the first time. It's not the first time that the levees broke. It's not the first time that people were wiped out. It's not the first time. God has called you to be a world changer. Some of you call right to your family. Some of you call right to your neighborhoods. Some of you called across the world. Some of you called to places like Kansas, right? We need you in Kansas too. All right. Some of you just need to figure out what you're doing on the campus. Do you understand that? I want to encourage you. I went through a stage in my life where I said, Lord, they're so abusive and hostile. I'm just going to sit down and give up. And the Lord said, get up. Get up. I will protect you. I'll give you a word to say. Souls will get saved. Are you willing to go to the cross? Nobody wants to talk about the cross. We want to talk about prosperity. We want to talk about how much money we make. We want to talk about all of that stuff. But in the end, it does not matter if folk aren't saved. People of African descent need to be saved. They need to be saved. Oh, and let me tell you what. In your chapter, in the varsity, they need to be saved. Praise God. So, identity redemption means that we are free from the limitations, bondage, and penalty of sin, and we're empowered to lead a Christ-like life. Now, some of us, so that's identity redemption. But now some of us need identity resurrection. In other words, because of identity theft, whether it was in our family, whether it was at the college, whether it was what happened to us one day as we were walking through the neighborhood, all right, and folk did some stuff to us, whether, Father God, it was in the church, wherever it was. Some stuff developed in us that we got to let God kill it. And that was always Peter's struggle, was to let God kill it. Peter was a natural leader. Peter could preach. All you got to do is go to Acts. I mean, Peter preaching, thousands of people get saved. That's not the issue. But Peter was always struggling with himself and allowing God to do the things that needed to be done so he could have a new identity. So God wants to transform you. Now, y'all know this one, right? God wants to transform you like the cars on Pimp My Ride. Oh, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's what we look like. You know, no horn, the top tore off. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. The brothers got it. And listen, sister, God wants to transform you like Helen from Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Stop taking abuse. Forgive people and start acting like you were made and rooted in the image of God. I want to end with these things. God wants to continue the process. Do you hear me? Say process.
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 Of sanctification.
Sanctification.
Sanctification is a process. I look back at some stuff I did and I tell God, did I do that? God said, yeah, you did it, Alice. But see, God loves you. God really loves you. And so that's the reason why you got to repent. You got to what?
Repent.
And then you got to what? Turn. You got to pray, listen, and what?
Obey.
Obey. All right. Now you can have your fight with God. I have mine probably every week. I'm in New England. God sent me to New England. I wanted to be in Atlanta. Praise his name. He lets me come and preach. Praise his name. And every week, me and God have it out. So you got to understand about sanctification. I don't want to be in New England, God. I really don't. I don't, I don't, I don't. And then the Lord says, do you want to see souls saved? I said, yes. I will be with you. That's the answer. You're going to have to personally and corporately study the scripture and history. You've got to study the scripture and you got to study some history because the word of God cleanses you over a period of time. So I went through a period of time in my life that I had some nasty thoughts. Y'all got nasty thoughts? If y'all human, y'all do. Praise his name. And I had nasty thoughts. And so I was at that point. I'd be crying. You know, that's how I do. Prayer warriors just cry all the time. So don't take it personally. They just cry all the time. And I'd be crying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And you know, and I'd be in the mirror. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that you're able. I believe you're going to correct my mind. You know what I thought. And I kept reading the word. And I kept being accountable. And I kept, you know, being with people who loved me and would tell me the truth. See, I never was a person that hung with the folk who would tell me everything that I wanted to hear because I figured they were lying. All right, you know, maybe your mother never told you that. You know, you don't be around people who lie, steal, and cheat. You know, my mom told me that. And so one day I realized that as I kept being accountable and I kept reading the word and I kept praying, I didn't do that thing no more. But I didn't do it without it being a process. All right? You need to have a teachable spirit, right? Teachable spirit. Y'all know what a teachable spirit is? You know, when you get to college, you, of course, are the elite considered in America. I just have to tell you the truth. They consider you to be the elite. Oh, I'm at the University of California, Berkeley. All right. Praise God. You know, I'm from London, and God has blessed me as a person of African descent to go to Oxford. Praise God. But the issue is, when you have a teachable spirit, you know, when the church mama who has the eighth grade education wants to teach you how to pray, because see, she actually gets her prayers answered. You know, you keep praying, and the prayer don't get answered. Then I go to that mama, Mother Copeland, hallelujah. Mother Copeland, I got cancer. Praise his name. Mother Copa said, I pray for you day and night. And one day I got up and God said it was over. She was right. There is no evidence of cancer. So guess what, people of God? This sister right here, you got to take the limits off of God. God can do whatever he wants to do in your life. You asked him. You asked him. Brothers, you asked him. Staff workers, God speak to y'all too. asked him to cleanse you, empower you, and transform your thinking and behavior. Trust him to do it. Y'all, we got to ask God to help us. Those who have large areas of fear, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God will help you to fear no more. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come in and heal you and make you whole. We are broken people. But all I know, praise the Lord, is that when Jesus Christ is at the center of your identity, you can be homeless and on the street, and you are in the best condition rather than if you were in the White House and you don't know Jesus. Is God a respecter of persons? No. So this is what you got to do. When you go to your devotion today, I didn't give you all the answers because only Jesus can do that. I got enough sense to tell you that. It's time to take back your identity. Say it with me. It's time to take back my identity. Point at yourself. It's time to take back my identity. It's time to take back my identity. It's time to take back my identity. And guess what? You have to learn to praise God in whatever situation you're in. So guess what? I tell people everywhere I go. When I was sitting at home and I said to the Lord, I said, I've been saved since I was young. And then I got cancer. And so the first response is, what did I do? Because everybody around me said I had done something. And I began to cry and say, God, I don't know of anything. I love you. And God began to settle my spirit. And he said to me, you have a purpose. If you would make the decision to pray, I will change situations in the world that no one will know about but me. And when you get to heaven, there will be people there because you chose to pray and to be invisible. I don't want you to be a victim of identity theft. Whatever it is you're dealing with. How much time I got, baby? I try to stay within my time. I'm doing okay. Praise God. You got to learn to obey. No more time. I'm totally out of time. Thank you. May I have them come for prayer. Is that all right? See, y'all see that? Did you see how y'all learned to obey? See, even old people can learn to obey. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all need prayer. When I was growing up, and I'm still growing up because I haven't hit Jesus yet. One day I'm going to be with Jesus and I'm going to finally be a grown woman. Some of you need prayer. When I went through various points of sanctification, it looked like I lived at the altar. I never understood it. I just kept going to Jesus and kept going to Jesus because I began to figure out as much as people loved me, they really couldn't help me because I knew what was in me. And that's the encouragement. The encouragement is you can go to Jesus. He won't tell your business. Hey, I can guarantee you. You can go to Jesus and he will do things for you that your girlfriend or your wife sure can't do. You can go to Jesus and Jesus wants to change those places in you that are broken. God wants people of African descent to be whole. Whole, y'all. Whole. And it's a process. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, we just have a few minutes before you go to devotion. Because, see, when Jesus is dealing with your identity, that's between you and him. And you're going to spend some time doing that in quiet devotion. But if you've been struggling with some of the stuff I talked about, religious morality, blah, 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 I want you to go right here. You see this middle space? And there will be prayer warriors there for you. I don't care if you have to go and get prayer every day, do it. Because when you get back, the devil waiting for you, I can guarantee you. He wants to kill you, believe me. My spiritual mother said that to me once. He said, Alice, if the devil could kill you, he'd do it, but he can't. You're not going nowhere till Jesus take you. So you can get rid of that fear too, or death. Get rid of it. Because you will die, Jesus is going to come. So if he comes the next few minutes, that's all right too. Praise. But I'm asking you now, if you will get up and go to that middle aisle, you here, I'm looking at some of your faces, and you really have struggled. You've been struggling with who you are. You have been struggling with some of the stuff I talked about, right? Come now. I tell people, go quickly. All around here, you'll see the prayer warriors. Go now. Get up now and go and get some prayer. There you go. Go now. Go now. Go now. Go now. And the rest of you, just prepare yourself, because when you go into quiet devotion, you see, that's how God talks to me. And he says to me things like, you know, he begins to, you know, get one thing healed and then something else has to get healed. And I just let him do it. And there's prayer warriors all back there, but go. Now, we have two prayer warriors here. Come. There's some folk who can come here and then. Sister, it looks like prayer warriors over the side. But come here if you need prayer. Come on, come on. And this is a kind of quiet moment because, you know, you got to come to grips with who you are and how much God loves you. That's really, to me, what sanctification is about. You know, I love Collins. You all right? And I tell people, you may not believe it, but even as a married woman, you can find you a man. They do it all the time. But I don't do it because I love you. Praise God. Soften. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the rest of you that are sitting, you should be praying. You should be praying. Don't you think so? Pray. Let God empower you to serve. Pray. Pray. Because God loves you. I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to walk away from here thinking it can't be done, letting the enemy attack you with guilt. I want you just to know that God loves you. God really loves you. And he has the best for you. Yes, he does. So everybody else is praying, right? If you're not coming for prayer, you are praying. This is one of those moments.